sort of a weird face, kind of unattractive.
Yeah.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
Come on, come on. Let's wake up.
With Jason Ross.
He is wise.
The only local sports talk show that helps you get through your morning commute.
It's the
Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Rob Gronkowski says he'd retire if he was forced to decide right now.
You're not forced to, Rob.
No.
Think about it.
I've really enjoyed Rob Gronkowski's career as a person and player.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see him hosting Wipeout in 3 years or whatever he's going to do.
Fear Factor, the third version of it or whatever.
100%. Although those USAA commercials.
Although his WWE stint during retirement was less than stellar.
Yeah.
You ever hear the story about how he was scared to do, it was a stunt fall?
No.
And so Vince McMahon, who was like damn near 80 years old, had to go up and demonstrate for him how to do it and that it was safe.
Really?
Yes.
I did not. I mean, listen, Vince can do it. Rob can do it.
Maybe Rob would host Double Dare on Nickelodeon.
Rob's just going to have a long, hey, Mark
Summers.
Oh, God, is he still with us?
Yeah, right.
Okay, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, no.
That's where the slime.
Yeah.
No, wait, or that's you can't do that on television, or I get those mixed
yes,
up.
I think that was the title of the
show. Alanis Morissette used to be on there back
she
when.
Did?
Yeah, Alanis Morissette was on You Can't Do That on Television on Nickelodeon. And then Double Dare is always about the physical challenge, which means something different the older you get.
Yes.
But I'm going to very much enjoy Rob Gronkowski. He's made millions of dollars. He's a Hall of Famer. He's won championships. He is the bro of bros. And I want to see him. I basically want to see pictures of Rob Gronkowski a couple times a year on a yacht somewhere in the middle of some awesome ocean with a party on board, pounding Coors Lights. I did think of sponsors there.
well done.
Oh, is she ready? All right. Joining us right now. Well, you know, we've heard the term before. Stick to basketball. And, I mean, that, you know, listen, KD is a basketball expert.
Yes.
No doubt about
it. Confirmed.
That. Confirmed 100%. No snark there at all. When it comes to other sports, she tries. Made a bet, lost a bet, and, well, Carmichael Dave's in charge of her wardrobe here in a couple of games. Joining us live from Atlanta, not Magic City, though, I would think. The one, the only, one of the voices of your Sacramento Kings and probably quietly contemplating other things last night. Katie Lauren Christensen. Good morning, Katie.
Good. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm well.
Yeah?
It's peachy. Yeah. I've got lots to be happy about right now.
Yeah, name.
Bet.
What?
Lost the bet, lost the game.
Wait, you're joking.
Nah.
Well, listen, I don't know. I guess I could totally be
who you are at your core. Yeah.
I could be mean about this. I could gloat. I'm not going to do any of that.
Would Katie gloat had they won?
Oh, God, yes.
Would you, Katie?
Katie.
I guess we'll never know, Jason.
Yeah, because she's never going to win those titles. I will not gloat at all.
You're a loser.
I will just simply say, that was a jingle singers, that wasn't me. There's an Eric Armstead jersey that is now here. It's signed. And it is good to go. And I know we have an.
Can I wear my Packers jersey underneath so that the 49ers jersey doesn't have to touch my skin?
As long as we can't see the Packers jersey, I don't care what you wear underneath. I don't care. Thanks for the look, Jay. As long you can wear whatever you want underneath, as long as that Armstead is for. And you know, it's a double thing too, Katie, because you.
It is, because if I'm gonna wear a 49ers jersey,
right.
I'll happily wear Eric Armstead's jersey. Local boy, he's a fantastic human being. I can stomach that, Dave, just because he's fantastic.
I know it's not official yet, Jason. We still have to decide on and there's still some politics to get through. But I think, Katie, we're tentatively saying the Brooklyn home game, your first game back from the trip, right?
I think you said that.
Well, the problem is that this, you know, first off, you might be wearing this jersey, God forbid, a couple days after they lose. We don't want to wait too long.
Yeah, I know. There are those things to think about. I'm sorry that we're in the middle of a really long road trip and that it is inconvenient for you, sir.
Well, it's inconvenient. No, the road trip is actually inconvenient for Kings fans' eyes. That's the problem. Katie, go ahead, break it down. So last night against Boston, rough night for the Kings, but hey, you just got to throw these away and you got another one in front of you tonight. Try to start a winning streak, right?
I will quote Alvin Gentry. They got their bleeps kicked. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can say that on your station.
No, can't. But we got it. Jason, you're up.
I'm just listening, and I'm we're much like this yesterday, Katie. I'm sure you guys were at loss of. I mean, people lose. They've lost a ton, but down by 60. I don't even know how to explain last night besides just a colossal mess.
It was, you know, the crazy thing about it, and as the first quarter was going on and then into the second quarter, I'm sitting there going, you know what? Like, initially they did not handle their defense well at all. I mean, Boston was aggressive. They're a solid defensive team. They have great numbers. I mean, they give up 105 points a game. They're long. They're active. They kind of clog the paint. And then without De'Aaron Fox, like the main guy that really – does have the ability to break down defenses like that and kind of open things up for other people. Like that was unfortunate. But you know what? Every NBA game, there's someone's out. You know, that's just you can't pin it on that at all. And like as the game was going on, I'm like, you know what? They're getting good shots. They're getting shots they normally knock down. I mean, it's so rare for like every single player to be cold, but it was a combination of like really everyone having a really poor, awful shooting night, which you don't get with consistent, you know, normally like maybe one or two guys might be struggling, but everyone was struggling. And then Boston they could close their eyes and shoot. I mean, they were hot and Tatum was coming off a 50-point game and Jaylen Brown is just impressive on, I mean, they have multiple all-stars on their team and they played like it last night. And this is a team that's underperformed based on their standards and, you know, what are they? They're 7-3 over their last 10 games. Like they're trying to make a push in the Eastern Conference. They're trending in the right direction. And the Kings just laid a gigantic egg last night. And those games will happen, but it's like, whoa, that was a rough one.
Yeah. Katie, do you have any read? You know, Dave and I were talking about this earlier, and you're obviously closer to the floor, closer to the players being on the road as well, that – you know, all of them have basically been mentioned in some sort of version of a trade, whether it's legit or not, but the rumors are going crazy for the players on this team.
Yeah.
Do you think that's impacting them at all personally? I know it's business. I know you know that. I mean, that's the what this is, but I don't know. It's been a couple of weeks of this, and it just seems like the whole team is in a downward spiral, and I don't know if it's reflective of that at all. Do you have a read on that?
I can't, you know, confirm it, but I can tell you that my feeling is that, yes, it's affecting people. And I think it's affecting people for multiple reasons. Everyone's like a different personality. And no matter how many times someone says, you know, it's a business, they're saying that because sometimes I feel like players say that to reassure themselves, you know, like it's a business because you have no control. And that is the really weird thing as a player. And I know people are going to say, well, they make millions of dollars. They make millions of dollars. They're human beings and they don't have a lot of control over their fate. And it's not just, you know, it's not like it's just them. These are men that have families, children. Harrison Barnes has a little baby girl. Like if he were traded, you're moving an infant. Buddy Hield just had their second child, you know, like if those are factors, things that kind of factor into it. And those are things that, you know, kind of affect how players feel about things. And then they have young players. You know, Tyrese Haliburton, he's going to be mentioned in everything because he's a player that has absolutely impressed the NBA since he came in last year. And a lot of people are interested. And you can't tell me that doesn't affect him as a human being. So my read on it, my feel, without having players specifically say, hey, man, this is tough, is that I know it is because I understand the psychology of a player. You know, it's tough to play through things when you're sitting here going like, well, am I going to be here? Am I, you know, what's going to happen to me? Where am I going to go? Like, it's a difficult, like, psychological minefield to be in my opinion.
Wah. That's my thought. Wah.
No,
I mean, play better.
Hey, listen, I totally get it. Do I think that that's why the team played like they did last night? Yeah. No, I don't think that that's solely why. Do I think it factors into it? I think it factors into it. And, yeah, I get it. Wah. Like, I understand, but...
I know you do. I know
I'm speaking on like, a human level.
No,
like, it's not an excuse. It's part one of the things that factor into it, in my opinion.
Is this team broken, Katie? I mean, is it just broken? We try to break it down with logic and, you know... thought and all. Is it just simply they're broken, they've quit, their spirits are broken, and Monty McNair is the only thing that can save this team? At least we can always say, oh, well, you know, you never know, in 2 weeks they might reel off five in a row and something might click in the locker room. But barring miracles and sudden destruction of the earth, this is just a broken team.
I mean, that's a tough question to answer. It's tough because you don't want it to be true. You know, you want, like, individually, every single guy on this team, it's like I like them as players, as human beings.
Me,
like,
too.
The coaching staff is wonderful, like all of those mm-hmm. things. But, you know, from what we're seeing, like their record and, you know, a game like last night, it's like there's a level of fracture there for sure.
And you know Alvin so well. It seems like he's feeling it. He's wearing it. He's tried. He says it. Like, I'm sure he's had practices where he's yelled or moments or not talked to them. I mean, coaches can do different kind of psychological things. I feel like I know he's searching. What do you think Alvin's going through?
I think what Alvin's going through is he's taking a lot of the blame personally on himself and the coaching staff. And, you know, coaching staff too are operating at, like, you know, kind of minimum, like, levels right now. Doug Christie finally has cleared health and safety protocol. He'll join the team here today in Atlanta. You've got Stacey Augmon, who has been out as well. I mean, there's been, you know, obviously it's been a carousel on coaching staff. And so duties are just, like, these guys are, they're working hard, and Lindsay, you know, they're working hard. They're trying to pick up the slack. But I think the way that Alvin looks at it, and, like, genuinely from my personal conversations with him, is, like, I have to figure out something. Like, you can't just blame a team for how they're playing, because their coach is responsible for preparing them both physically and mentally. And so I think that he, you know, he's been in the league for over 30 years. Like, he's seen a lot of different things, and every team, and I know this, every team has its own, even every year it's different, you know, the same team from year to year that has primarily the same players. I mean, they are faced with the, you know, really kind of unique set of challenges. And so he's trying and scrambling to figure out what can he do to, like, right the ship. And I think that, you know, it's in a sense, you feel like a failure. Because he's like, I can't blame them. Like, I'm failing in some way, and my job is to figure out how to find some success.
Katie Christensen with us. We appreciate your time, as always. Remember, if you get hungry today, what is it? Magic City, great wings.
Yeah, I heard about them wings. Yeah. I think I'm good.
Wings. Thank you, Katie. We'll talk to you soon. Love you lots. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. That's Katie Christensen. Hey, listen, what's going on with the A Stadium? I don't know. Are we going to even have a season?
Good question.
Are there any horse socks? Billy Madison reference. Dave Cavill joins us after this.
Keep the thumbs busy.
Do you Twitter?
Follow us on Twitter at Sports1140KHTK. The Carmichael Dave Show. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Every time I see a guy like Joey Torre, Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, you name it, you look at things in the wrong direction, it was fire to me, because they pulled the best out of me.
That's Big Poppy Hall of Famer David Ortiz. Making the Hall of Fame. Just a random clip here. By the way, Aaron Rodgers playing a lot of stuff post-game and all that. Here's Aaron Rodgers back in 2019.
I've said this before, you know, we got to get one of these at home. It's a different ball game. It's different, you know, playing in 20-degree weather and snow, cold and wind is a different type of game than playing here.
Oh, if they could only get the Niners at home in the cold weather, they'd win the game.
Maybe throw some touchdowns.
All right, what's going on with the A's Stadium? We are the proud home of the Oakland Athletics. What's going on with spring training? What's going on with our old friend, president of your Oakland Athletics, Dave Cavill? Dave, it's, well, Dave and Jason, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
So we hear things. I don't understand many of them, but I'm not a smart man, Dave. I hear stuff, and I feel like there's good things moving towards a stadium deal in Oakland, but I'm not the president of the team. How, in your mind, are things progressing?
Well, we had a really positive vote this month of the Planning Commission on the environmental report. You know, that's something that was over 2.5 years in the making. And to get that unanimous vote and that endorsement of the planning department body was really a positive step. So now we're off to the city council, which, you know, in the past, it has taken longer than anyone wanted, but it's supposed to happen sometime in February, which would be very positive. And we continue to march forward on one of our two parallel paths with our Oakland effort.
So timelines here, you mentioned it taking 2.5 years in the making before. Where is the, not on your behalf, but overall, like, is there a timeline that things have to be secured for you guys to be able to stay in Oakland?
Well, we're really running out of time. You know, our existing facility is 10 years past its useful life. You know, we're really at a point, we only have a lease through 2024. And so we really need to know this year, really in the first half of this year, that there's a path in Oakland and that the elected officials have endorsed the waterfront ballpark project. And we haven't got there yet. We haven't got the binding votes. There's been directional votes, non-binding votes, but this is really the point we're spending. You know, we've almost spent 5 years on the Howard Terminal project. We need to hear from the city council, from the elected leaders, that this is a public policy they endorse and that we can come to terms and get it approved.
I think a question a lot of a sort of semi-passive onlookers have is, like, what's the pop the champagne moment? Like, what is the moment where A's fans can say the team is staying and we're getting the Howard Terminal location? What's the vote? What's the moment, Dave?
Well, I think it really is, you know, the city council voting that the project is approved. That's a huge deal. We would get binding vested rights to build the ballpark. There still could be things like litigation that happen and stuff like that after that. But that means that you've, you know, gotten over this political hurdle, which has always been the most challenging thing in Oakland. You know, that's why it's taken 25 years to get as far as we've gotten. And that would be an incredible moment. And we're pushing really hard to get there, but also knowing that we have to keep other options open because, you know, we've worked this long and we're still not there. So that's why, by the direction of Major League Baseball, we are pursuing Las Vegas. We've spent a lot of great time there. We have a lot of positive traction in that market as well, because at the end of the day, we need to resolve this and find somewhere to play.
How much of Las Vegas is a necessary, as you say, parallel path, because that lease is up in 2024, and how much of it is a leverage play?
Oh, it's 100% real, and it has to be, because we have to have somewhere to play. You know, I think if you got a tour of the you know, bowels of the Coliseum and you saw what we were dealing with, you know, it's just not at the level of other teams in professional sports. It's from a bygone era, and even though we're spending millions of dollars a year to keep it in the condition it's in, we need a new building. And that's why it's really imperative that we get this figured out in the next couple months.
Dave Cavill, A's president, with us. Dave, I think about the fans here, and you talked about the political hurdle. That's something they have no control, and that's something you guys have to try to wrestle with. But they have to decide if they're supporting your team and going to games, and their financial discretion there. And you know it, the fans that love the A's are all in. So what do you say to that group that might, you know, you guys are waiting on this timeline to know by the first half of this year on their future, but hopefully you're going to have a season that starts here soon. What do you say to that group that loves you guys but doesn't know if you're going to be here in 2-3 years?
Well, I mean, that group can participate, and I think they have, especially at, you know, when we've had votes at the county where a lot of our fans are in Alameda County, or even city events where, you know, people can dial in and comment on the value and impact of the A's not only on the community, but on their own lives. So those things are very powerful. And, you know, so, you know, we've solicited help from our fans, and they've done an incredible job of showing up in those instances. And at the same time, you know, I know it's been a saga that's been so long, and there's been so many twists and turns, but I think at a certain point, we just have to bring it to a resolution. You know, we can't continue to play in the current environment with the current uncertainty. And while, you know, there's a lot of turbulence to get there, you know, we have to find a way to kind of emerge from this like uncertain period and actually have a location where we can break ground, be in a new building, invest in our players, have higher revenues. It just can be a new day for the A's.
And again, it's Dave Cavalier's president joins us. Do we have a timetable in the sense of, you know, we talk about that champagne cork popping date, like what's next and when abouts are we going to find out hopefully whether or not the council approves?
Well, we're going to have a February vote of the city council certifying the environmental report. That'll be a big hurdle. And then the next thing that would come probably like in March or April is the city council voting on the economic deal between the two parties. We've been waiting on the city on that for some time. And those are the twin things that are necessary. So then you could say, hey, we've gotten over the political hurdle and we can move forward to the next phase, which there will be a period where we get sued. I mean, this happens on all these big projects. That's why we had to get the legislation back in 2018 that limits the lawsuits to 270 days of adjudication. But that is like more of a procedural thing than an actual like political risk. So I think we're looking over the next 3 or 4 months to hopefully have an idea if we can be there. And that's why this is a critical moment for us.
Dave, something that's probably even more out of your control, the actual season. We're all fans of the sport. Would love to see it play. Where are we with that? What do you think? We're actually having spring training in baseball here very soon?
It's a great point because we want to buy. Listen, we've been coming down to spring training.
We want to go.
You've been so gracious with us, and we want to come down and play some golf and hang out with you guys. Should you think we're anywhere close to buying tickets yet?
Well, I mean, there's nothing like playing golf in Arizona that time of year.
Nope.
So I've been over at the Biltmore and the Phoenician and all the great places. So, you know, I think more than anything, the league and the Players Association, you know, that things have been happening, as folks have seen in the media. You know, it's really the league office that's been leading that effort. The commissioner, the commissioner's office, Dan Halem. And, you know, this is something that, you know, the teams kind of like, you know, have our authority over to the league to handle it. And so, you know, I think we'll see how things continue to play out and, you know, continue to watch the updates. But like everybody else, everybody likes golfing in Arizona or Florida. You know, we'll see kind of how things play out over the next couple of weeks.
Last thing for you, Dave, and please understand this coming from a guy who you know loves you guys, also who is a lifelong fan of a team that lost by 50-plus points to the Celtics last night.
Ouch. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no.
Ouch is
believe
right.
Me. You know, you have all the stadium and relocation stuff. I know you are very passionate about your fan base, and you've talked to almost every one of them. And there's beyond the stadium stuff, it's also this guy could get traded, payroll's going down, Bob Melvin's gone. So just from a baseball standpoint, what's your pitch? And ultimately, you know, that's part of your job. What's your pitch to A's fans as to why they should have both eyes open, hopefully come April?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's been some changes this offseason, but, you know, I think we have a really great skipper in Mark Kotze. And we're really happy to have him in that role. I think that's a very positive thing. You know, we have a situation where, you know, we're looking to, you know, field a team that can be competitive. But at the same time, we're waiting to see what the new collective bargaining agreement entails. And so there is uncertainty. And I think that's hard for our fans and everyone associated with it. And we're doing our best to manage through that and also understand that we want to make good long-term decisions for the franchise and ensure that we're on a successful footing and ensure that we get this new stadium built, because that is the really transformative moment that can assure that we can keep our players and really win more World Series.
Well, bring your clubs in April, okay?
Yeah, everybody loves golfing, as I said. There's nothing wrong with that. 82 degrees, so yeah.
Always appreciate you visiting with us. Thank you so much, A's President Dave Cavill. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. That's Dave Cavill. Listen, Antonio Brown, he's back on offense. but talking. We have audio of his very strange interview with his lawyer and Bryant Gumbel. It's like a bingo card. We'll do all that after this.
The king of Sacramento sports talk. We are Sports 1140 KHTK. Hey, stop speaking to Dave through the dash and try the phone. Dial 916-339-1140. Or text the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Come up tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Sam Amick will join us. We'll talk to Sam about, well, is there any help on the way? Is there a lifeboat, a raft right now? Right now, Kings fans are sunburnt, bearded, looking at a bloodied volleyball drifting off in the distance on a raft that's falling apart, hoping for a tanker to come by and save them from being fish food.
Yeah, definitely talking to themselves.
Yeah, definitely talking to themselves.
Dreaming of a better world,
mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's outside their grasp.
They can't reach it.
Nope.
No. Wilson, last night was the blade of the figure skate in the mouth when Tom Hanks had the toothache and cast away. One of the most cringy moments I've ever seen in a movie. Yes, Jay?
This is just dark.
We're trying to figure
so
out.
So was last night.
Things that you, I mean, that'd be a segment in itself. Things that are less painful than being a Kings fan. My go-to is stapling lunch meat to your body and diving into a cage filled with piranhas. Hammering a meat thermometer into one side of your ear. Closing your tongue in a car door.
That's a good one.
It also has to be something, though, that like almost all of those are relatively quick pain.
Sure.
Like, is there a time? Like, this isn't a, oh, just last night was bad or just the last week was bad. We're talking about years.
How about sliding down a razor blade into a pool of rubbing alcohol?
Off of a mountain. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're doing it for miles.
Yeah, for a while. Like, yeah. Kind of stop and go slow.
Yeah, like, oh, it's a little better now. Oh, no, it's worse.
We could shout out our guy Weird Al Yankovic cleaning all the bathrooms in Manhattan with your tongue. Mm-hmm.
Develop some good antibodies though.
Oh yeah. Lord knows there were no bodies out there last night getting rebounds. Hey, right? Am I right? Antonio Brown.
Kings should sign Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown was on with Bryant Gumbel yesterday.
Sure he was.
And his attorney. Well, not Bryant's attorney. Antonio Brown's attorney.
Better.
Someone wants free vasectomies offered at games now. That's text line, 916-339-1140. Bryant asked him about his mental health.
Antonio, I saw where you seem to resent the feelings of so many former coaches and teammates that you were in need of mental assistance. Does that bother you?
Mental assistance from who?
Professional assistance.
To the extent any of that is coming from a spin that Antonio had a spontaneous mental episode, it's resentful and it's hurtful, and it's a disservice to people who do suffer from mental health challenges. We all have our difficulties, Antonio, myself, everybody.
Yeah, these guys at Tampa Bay Bucks tried to make an agreement with me to give me $200,000 to go to the crazy house so these guys could look like they know what they're talking about.
Wait. They offered you $200,000 for what?
The offer was Antonio would basically sit on the sidelines, go on some list, and commit himself to some form of intensive mental health treatment. And we were specifically told in writing by the general manager twice, don't spin this any other way.
Antonio, do you think you need mental help of any kind?
I have mental wealth, man. I know a lot of people may not understand me.
I like that, mental wealth. I have mental wealth. So here's the thing. Am I missing something? But when you heard the thing from the Bucks, and I'm probably missing something here. When I heard them talking about that thing from the Buccaneers, I paid $200,000 to go on the physically unable, the pup list, and go seek and get mental health, which I also assume they would pay for. I think that's the safe assumption. Well, am I missing something when I say that sounds like a nice thing?
Like they're reaching out?
Like they're reaching out and they're worried about him. They're literally going to pay him to go do that.
Yeah, they framed it a little bit differently in their response.
Sure.
I kind of wish Antonio was just in the interview. And I know the lawyer's there to clean things up, but man. Honestly, I have zero experience, zero knowledge, zero expertise, so that's the caveat I'm putting in. I'm worried about him.
I am worried
and
about
without
him too.
Any, I'm not connected. I don't know. He does a lot of odd things, and I hope. I know he spun it, and that's a clever, I got mental wealth. I don't know about the mental health spot of it, but I'm concerned for him.
Like, is there a way? Because here's the thing. It also stinks when you're trying to you're trying to have an opinion on the guy, because I've floated this before. He might just be just kind of a weenie and carry himself like a weenie, and he's done some serious things that, you know, weenie's a funny word. He's done some really serious things also off the field. But, like, I don't want to go full in on him and then find out 2 weeks later he's doing something terrible to himself or has done something terrible and then have that guilt and the whole embarrassment that would go with that. I almost wish it's like, okay, a lot of people are worried about your mental health. Okay, well, can you go see a counselor then and then let the counselor talk?
And okay, so Tampa's had been with him for roughly a full season. I can't remember when he got there last year. Or was he there for all last year? Either way.
I think he got their middle. I think he got their middle.
So at least a year, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not you and I observing him from a few things that we see on TV that seem abnormal. They would have a much better pulse on this. So if they're suggesting that, whether or not that's true or not, but I believe it probably is, they were concerned too.
Devil's advocate is they're protecting their own rear ends, though. The Bucks are. Because he's making some pretty serious accusations. Here he is on Bruce Arians.
Prior to the game on January 2nd, the game against the New York Jets at the Meadowlands, were you given shots of Toradol?
Absolutely. Right before the game, I was given Toradol.
We actually have, Bryant, in the medical records that we've reviewed, evidence that the team regularly injected Antonio with Toradol. So he couldn't feel the damage that he was doing to his ankle until it got to that threshold point where he told his coach, "Coach, I can't play because of my ankle." And the coach's response to that was, "Get the F off the field."
Okay, so the Bucks shot you with Toradol in the week before the Carolina game, correct?
Absolutely.
They shot you again before the Jets game, correct?
Absolutely.
And you played the first half and had 3 catches for 26 yards, correct?
Yes.
And Arians claims that at halftime then, you were upset about not getting more balls thrown your way. True or false? Is he lying?
False. It's not worrying about the ball. Tom Brady is my guy. He's the reason I'm on Tampa Bay, so I know I'm going to get the ball.
Okay.
The problem here is that, like, I think the easy and perhaps correct way to go, let's be fair, is, okay, Antonio Brown, you know, you need help, dude, and, you know, you've worn your welcome out in a lot of places. Here's the only thing holding me back. The NFL has proven time and time and time and time and time and time again that they are a horribly corrupt, terrible, terrible organization filled with horrible people, and they also happen to be by far the most popular sport in the country. This is not an ethical organization at all.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is very plausible. And if they're shooting him up with all these drugs and putting him out there,
which isn't abnormal,
not at all. And then he says, "I can't." If he's saying I can't go, here's the other thing that's on his side. If he's saying he can't go, remember the whole thing was if he had, you know, 2 more catches and 3 more yards and 1 more touchdown, it was like a $200,000 bonus each time. That's like $600,000 right there. And by the way, he had another game after that. He would have gotten those bonuses. So why would he say he can't go if he could go?
Yeah, I mean, I think in another one of those situations where a couple of things, both things could be true here, it seemed, and we heard him publicly, I don't think Arians was ever a fan of his.
Right.
Brady obviously campaigned
for him,
and they won.
Yeah.
And I think it could be one of those things where maybe Antonio Brown did feel better after injected, after the shots.
Sure.
But now was no longer feeling well, and then Arians is probably like, well, look, I didn't really want you here, so if you can't play.
Right.
They're already, the whole football, the whole sport is programmed to be so cutthroat, next man up. Like, you're the greatest player ever, but you're hurt. Sorry, we're moving on to the next guy. If you come back, great. But at this point, I was really never into you, so see ya. And then his antics then goes probably too far with taking the pads off and all that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
of course,
that's extreme, but this is bizarre.
I know this. I know they won a Super Bowl when he was playing with them.
Yeah.
I know they barely lost to the Rams when he wasn't.
He would have likely helped.
I think he would have. Would they have won the game? That's a tough leap to make. And it's going to be interesting to follow. It's a far different situation, but look at how embraced from both sides Odell Beckham Jr. has been with the Rams. And again, this is not the same thing, but Odell's had issues different kinds of issues with both his previous teams and left Cleveland. A lot of people were wondering if he was washed up. The guy has six touchdowns in, what, five, six games, whatever it is. It seems to be working out fantastically. Now you wonder, let's fast forward. Let's say the Rams won the Super Bowl. Let's say Odell Beckham Jr. is as important to their Super Bowl win as Antonio Brown was to the Bucs last year. Now what about this time next year when the Rams are in the playoffs? Do everybody's different, but is there a wear off the welcome type of thing? It will be, it'll be incredibly interesting. One more thing here, since we don't have a lot of time. Urban Meyer talked about his experience in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it was the worst experience I've had in my professional lifetime.
Okay, so there you go.
I think that's what the – was that audio from the Jacksonville locker room as well?
Is Urban Meyer the George Carl of Jacksonville?
Wow. Just yeah.
Really good every other place, and then, yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up the show. All kinds of stories we did not get to. Once in a blue moon and a rough anniversary. We'll mention all that after this.
Hey, stop speaking to Dave through the dash and try the phone. Dial 916-339-1140. Or text the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Once in a blue moon in just 1 second. I told you guys last week about Microsoft's purchase of the video game company Activision Blizzard with World of Warcraft and StarCraft and Star Fox. I don't know, whatever.
They got
a lot of games.
Activision, wasn't that part of Atari?
Yes, that's how
Pitfall.
Far
Pitfall.
Microsoft owns Pitfall now.
Yes.
Was Jungle Hunt 1, 2? Remember
Activision?
Jungle Hunt?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Hey, Jungle Hunt! Hey, it beats alligators!
Don't put that Atari on the TV, you're going to break it!
Did you have Atari?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if it was.
God, yes.
I knew it was my time. I didn't know.
I had me some Atari. I even played the old E.T. game that killed the Atari once upon a time. E.T. killed Atari. It was a really good show on Netflix about video games. And one thing I was wondering, and I am vamping now because I forgot it. We were talking about, now I got
Activision
it.
Blizzard.
The have you guys seen those arcade 1-Up machines at Walmart and other places?
Yes.
They're basically, they're the video games of our youth.
Okay.
And stand up like arcade form, but I believe they're slightly shorter, but a lot of them come with chairs, and they're like exactly like they were. So you've got Street Fighter, you have a member.
Is it one game, or can you have multiple?
So for example, remember at our friend Eric Hasseltine and Kevin Sherrod's house back in the day, Dan Cheatham, they had Miss Pac-Man and I think Galaga and all that.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Okay.
So, but man, they've got the stand-up Star Wars. That came out like a year ago. And then I just saw they have the Tron game. I don't know if you guys ever played the Tron game. I spent a lot of car wash money.
So how have you convinced Melissa that you
I have
buying?
Not, dude. I've tried to think about it. There's just no what. It's like $500. And I know that I'll play. It's like the thing I got with the 50.
Yeah, you'll play it for a day.
I'll play it for a day. But it just
looks. It's a great day.
I know. It looks so.
They're like, I think they're 3/4 the size of a normal arcade, number one. And then they also, but for a cheaper, they have the tabletop ones too.
I really did a deep dive on this over the weekend because when Tron happened, I went, oh, dear Lord, Tron.
Tron moved you.
Tron, there was movement. And then, so here's the, people can't see this at home, but here's the Star Wars. You remember that game, right? Yeah. When I saw they had a Big Buck Hunter.
Oh, then you're getting that.
I think I would get Big Buck Hunter. They have a Terminator 2, the shooting game, and then Tron. Look how Tron might be the most beautiful stand-up arcade game. Beautiful, pretty-looking one.
It's for hand-eye coordination. That's what you tell me.
You know, it's and
for Mason, the shooter, the future NBA star.
I think you should turn your at-home office into an arcade.
I agree.
That's the vibe I'm getting.
I don't disagree with you. The problem is my wife shares that at-home office. Nah. But I mean,
she can play too. Put a quarter on there.
Yeah, she can after we play. Yeah, exactly. It's a waiting game.
Yes.
Anyways, a $69 billion purchase of Activision Blizzard. Just to put this in perspective.
An expensive game.
You could buy every Major League Baseball team with $69 billion. You could buy every NHL team twice.
I just want to work.
You could buy 29 NBA teams.
There's 30.
Yeah, they don't want to buy the Kings. You could buy 22 NFL teams, and as of Friday, you could buy Peloton's entire business 8 times.
Maybe the bikes on there should have the video games.
The bikes?
On Peloton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've always looked for that. Once upon a time, remember Super Hang-On?
Yes.
The sit down. You sit down on the bike and you, oh, God.
Could you have Peloton Paperboy, the video game?
I just, that's such a fun game, but you can't play it with the controllers. You got to have the
handlebars.
That's
what I mean, with Peloton, yeah.
Exactly. Once in a blue moon, because I got more stuff if Jay's ready. Once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a blue moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer.
All right, I've been scouring the internet to see if the Kings had the worst loss last night.
Uh-huh.
I am convinced after this statistic that they did not.
Oh.
Believe it or not, the Kings losing by 53 to Boston, not the worst loss last night in the NBA. The Clippers trailed by 7 points with 20 seconds left last night against Washington. Entering that game, teams were 1-16,239 over the last 20 seasons when trailing by plus or 7+ points with under 20 seconds remaining in regulation. The only other time it's happened was January 2nd, 2014. The Cavs did it against the Magic and won in overtime.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Tracy McGrady and the Rockets. Okay.
You know, the thing that and this isn't on you, Jay, but the thing that I always wonder in situations like that, the numbers I really need is, had you bet on the Clippers when they were down at that point, at that, like, $10 wins you what?
Activision.
Right. like something there. And speaking of odds, here you go. Will Tom Brady be on the Buccaneers week one? Odds are out. Yes. Minus 1,500. Overwhelming favorite. Will Aaron Rodgers be on the Packers week one? No. Minus 225, just barely the favorite. Will the NFL change the overtime format for the 2022 season? Excuse me. No change, minus 200, the slight favorite. Playoff format only, plus 140. Mm. Both regular season and playoff formats, plus 350. That's very close when it comes to playoff format. And then finally, remember, this came out on Friday. We all missed an opportunity here, guys. Will Sean Payton coach for the Saints week one? No. You put $100 down, you win $900.
Ah.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, 9-1, pal. You got to think that, like, Fred Payton, his cousin, had to know, right? It makes a little cash. I wonder if there's got to be a limit on that. Darius Garland played his final game, the young Cleveland Cavalier, as a 21-year-old last night.
He's having an all-star type season.
2,400 points, 900 assists before the age of 22. Darius Garland is on this list. The only other players on this list. You did a look. Like, do you want? Okay, I thought maybe you wanted to guess.
Well, I'm thinking in my head, but I'm going to be off.
Isaiah Thomas, not ours, but the Piston. Stephon Marbury.
Oh, Starbury.
Tony Parker.
Okay.
LeBron James. Derrick Rose, naturally. Russ Westbrook. Jrue Holiday. Kyrie Irving. Luka Doncic. Trae Young. And De'Aaron Fox.
Hey. We got a positive Kings note into the show today.
I know him.
Yes.
That's a pretty good. There's not really a bad guy on that list. That's a nice company for Darius Garland and De'Aaron Fox to be in. By the way, a lot of people, NBA Jam, that's one. They have that out. Fantastic. They also have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
Somebody says you can try all those and play them at RC Willie for free before you buy. I think I might be looking.
I think you might make a trip to go see RC Willie.
You know what? Here's the deal. Let me ask you this. Maybe if I get a new endorsement. Don't you think this room needs one?
I know you've campaigned for that for a while.
There
is space.
There is space. I feel like this were what the natural one would probably be NBA Jams, right?
I guess so, yeah. I love track and field with that rollerball.
I don't think they have it, well, but when yes.
Some of them had the rollerball.
Yes.
That made it better.
Those are especially for the long jump. And then, yeah, you're.
The people had like those pencils or pens that they can hit.
That's cheating. Well, that's cheating. Remember some of the joysticks have like there was a program or a thing you could put on them? The Game Genie. Wasn't the Game Genie?
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it was cheating. I which do you think would get more fun in this room, NBA Jam or Big Buck Hunter? Because I think – I asked you a question, I'm going to answer. I think Big Buck Hunter, because it's quick enough, it's two-player, and I feel like NBA Jam's kind of a – like, we can't play a round of NBA Jam during a break.
No, but
– we'd be
Golden
all
Tee?
They do have golden. I believe they have golden.
How great would that be in here? You can just play it and leave it on the.
Can you? There's not like a time. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Tron. I feel like Tron would get old, and I love that game. But after a while, you're like, eh, well, I beat the Light Cycles. I think it's down to Big Buck Hunter or NBA Jam. I'm stalling here a little bit, fellas, because I hate ending the show like this, but there's no way we're going to go an entire 3 hours. It has really been 2 years since Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and the lovely people on that helicopter went down. 2 years. Jason, you and I were on the phone together that morning.
Yeah.
Both trying to figure out, is this real? Is this fake?
That you know, everybody has where they were. You told me the news.
Yeah.
And the way you told me is like, well, I think your phrasing was, well, I know what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, and I wish we didn't.
Yeah.
And you didn't tell me anymore. I said, man, I am afraid of the next thing you're going to say.
See, I thought you knew.
I didn't know.
I thought when I called you, I thought you knew.
And then I'm thinking, because there was a tone, so I was thinking it's not just, hey, the Kings need to trade.
Right, right.
Or maybe there was a firing or something. I never could I have thought that. And then you told me, and I'm like, not that I thought you were joking, because sure. That's the wrong, but I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And let's also remember, there was some really bad reporting on that at the beginning.
Remember, I mean,
Rick Fox is on there. Yep. Oh, good thing his family's not. No, his whole family's. Wait, what? Which? All of it was awful.
There was Kobe's whole family. Yeah. Like you said, there was Rick Fox. God, I want to feel like there was one other. Oh, I read, it wasn't Alfonso Ribeiro. It was like a random actor was on there. And that goes back to the Jim Crandall rule. You know, it's better to be, don't be first, be right. Especially with something like that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, everybody struggle with that in their own ways. I always say that one of the big reasons that people die every day, people younger than Kobe Bryant die, people die more tragically, kids die of cancer. Like, we're not in the business of comparing things. The point is, these things happen all the time. But I think when somebody like Kobe dies, it really puts us in touch with our mortality because they're immortal.
Right.
And if they can die, oh, my God. And it really, to this day, kind of teaches you about the fragility of life. And no matter how bad things are, it's like, well, yeah, they might be bad, but my goodness gracious, you've got this beautiful gift here.
Yeah.
I think he, you know, and then for Kings fans, we spent years just hating Kobe Bryant. And that's where we developed the term sports hate.
Yep.
Sports hate, but respect.
Yeah.
So, thoughts with the entire Bryant family, and let's not forget all the other families
for sure.
Of the folks that were on that tragic helicopter trip on their own. All right, listen, no way to segue out of that other than to say tomorrow on the program, Chris Biederman will join us. We will preview the Niners championship game, NFC championship game Sunday against the Rams. Sam Amick will break down all the news, notes, and rumors involving the Kings and so much more. We got a big show for you tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to Katie, Dave, and Eric, Jay Mars, Jason Ross. Jim Rome is next. Bye-bye now.
Sports 1140 KHTK.